Well, folks, here we are. It is that time of the week. It is Thursday morning, 8 a.m., and sure enough, the citizen lobbyist has come in looking not the worst for wear, having spent not one but two evenings in the grand meeting room at the school district headquarters, first for the assembly and next for the school board meeting. Welcome this morning.
Good morning. Yeah, boy, howdy. That was a lot of fun those last couple of nights.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to spend the entire time there, but I knew that you had it well covered. So you're going to start with the assembly?
Yeah, we'll get that one out of the way first. Certainly was the meatier of the two. It started out with a 700-page packet. Not quite as big as the week before, but certainly some big agenda items. The whole assembly was there with, at their chairs, except Mr. Arvin, who again was calling in from Taiwan, which has been his habit since he was reelected this time. And, they approved the agenda pretty much, without too much to say. They pulled a couple things out of the consent agenda, that sort of thing. They did have some reports from the city. The city of Wasilla was there talking about their capital project list that they handed out to the assembly and that they would be in Juneau next week. They're all making their little trips to Juneau right now, trying to get their projects moved along. They talked a little bit about a big meeting that was held in Raven Hall about the move of Eielson Air Force Base. Looks like it's been delayed, of course, but now it's looking like it may happen, and they're trying to prepare communities for it. Of course, it's some 500-plus employees that would be moving from Fairbanks down to this area, and apparently there's been a little change in regulation, whereas the valley now will be close enough for members of the squads to live as opposed to Anchorage, and seeing that housing is some reportedly $100,000 less than Anchorage, they're expecting quite an influx of people to the valley. So they're taking comment on it, letting people know what to expect. Of course, that will involve not only the borough, the cities, but the school district, who will be part of that. So those conversations have just now started, with some thought perhaps about a year from now we may see an influx of Fairbanks visitors or Fairbanks new residents.
Okay. Well, yeah, I know that even the discussion about that last year was enough to, you could feel the vibration, the impact as people started counting and looking at the numbers, both here as well as in Fairbanks, because that loss will have just the opposite impact up there.
Right, and I've heard some discussion that they're talking about closing a fair base in Germany and moving some more people to Eielson and to fill that gap. But as far as here, we've been seeing a continuing move of military out here. It's showing up in our school population. It's been mostly limited to sort of the higher end of the military, so to speak, so they don't have as many children as sort of the lower rank. But I think that could change here.
Sure.
So we'll have to keep an eye on this, how that proceeds. But it was good information to have. City of Palmer was represented by Mayor Delana Johnson, who was there to talk to them about the city, and she was very happy that their joint meeting had gone so well. It sounds like everybody was a fan of that took place a couple weeks ago.
Right.
She also was there to encourage something they were going to look at later on the agenda, encourage them to amend some action they were going to talk. We'll talk briefly about that later on school site selection of a new Palmer Elementary School, which is, we'll probably talk pretty substantially about that today. But they had come up with a plan B that they wanted considered too, that they think is a good site over near the Palmer Junior High School, near the MTA Center. And she wanted to lend her support to that and let them know that the city of Palmer had passed a resolution to that too, and that site should be considered if they were going to hopscotch away from the site selection committee. So that she was there to lend her support for that. Oddly, we had somebody from the Fairview Community Council show up and gave was introduced by a well-known developer in that area. They're starting to really talk about this new, how they're going to deal with the long-standing issue of Nelson Road to the last Maquetance Elementary School, and how Fairview Loop, that old road, is going to intersect. They're doing a little bit of lobbying, so to speak, on how that's all going to play out. It's quite a long, complicated issue. They had some maps and drawings, and apparently not getting the answers they want to hear from Public Works, so they're there to talk to the Assembly about that particular issue. And that took up 10 or 15 minutes on the agenda.
Yeah, I was there long enough to see that, and it was one of those interesting examples, as you've pointed out, that someone who would normally be presenting that to Public Works or in some way entering it into the system, apparently they found that the best forum was to go directly and to speak before the Assembly. And my sense was that they had significant detail. They've obviously professionals in this business. And it was obviously also not going to be something the Assembly could act upon, except to imply that it was going to be passed on. And because it had risen to the top that way, it should get a review and in some way a reaction from Public Works, and perhaps be put into the mix.
Yeah, that's pretty much the short of it. You know, the Assembly on these projects for a long time has sort of the 600-foot view of things, and every once in a while something falls from the sky and rattles the cage, so to speak, to make sure they're pushed a little bit up the queue. So we'll see. That Mr. Arvin briefly weighed into it. He was said he was well aware of the problem. Of course, that's been going on since he's been sitting on the Assembly. So we'll hear more about that. But that was sort of unexpected. But once in a while, somebody shows up you don't expect. They started in on their reports of the committee meetings they'd had this week. Mr. Culver gave a brief update and talked about there was the committee meeting, which is the school board, couple representative. It's kind of an informal meeting in the superintendent's office, open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
I, too, attended it. It's the couple of the school board members and administration and from both the borough and the district, and they talk about, you know, a litany of kind of ongoing issues. It's really good they get together once a month kind of in this informal setting and talk about things. Mr. Culver reported that there was a brief update to the bonds and where they're at with the bonds. Sounds like they're sort of on track now. Closely watching the progress on the first part of the $215 million school bond that was passed here in the Valley a year ago. They expect the rest of the bond to go out in March. So the whole slate of projects should be on the agenda to be complete. We only have now, you know, about 3.5 years to do that. So they talked about getting very, very close now to the Kinnick Elementary site. They're in final negotiations for an adjoining piece. This is going to work out quite nicely. They've already accepted a piece in the middle and junior high for that future school, which is really a just-in-time school.
Right.
And this is now the adjoining piece that they didn't think they were going to get, that they've come to some terms on. I believe Siri owns it. So they're getting down to where they hope they're going to be able to close on that here shortly. So that was pretty good news. They had a little bit of talk about the wood fire boiler. Up in Sioux Valley, this is something that's been sort of in the mix for a couple of years. Some entrepreneurs up there launched an idea to go into some type of an alternative energy. They're, of course, really a lot of their budgets in these schools now are dedicated to fuel to get them. A lot of those outlying areas, almost all of them are on diesel, which is just skyrocketed, as everybody knows. And they received a grant from the state to put a wood-fired boiler up there. In fact, some forestry land was set aside for that purpose when the management plant was done, and it's kind of been stalled. And they're having a discussion now on what it's going to cost. The district, of course, has been supportive of this. There's some teaching elements that they feel are will be very valuable, but they want it to be cost neutral. They don't want to have to lose money on the deal.
Right.
So a little bit of discussion on that, what the holdup is and where they're at and how they're pushing that forward. They talked a little bit about some other matching things and how that's all going to play out. So they meet monthly and just ongoing projects.
Okay.
So they're communicating. That's always good news for everybody.
Yes.
There was really no public relations reported. The manager had some comments. He was in Juneau last week and was very, very busy down there. There's a rail presentation was given. He's on to D.C. next week to talk to our lobbyists there. Mr. Keough and Mr. Culligan will join him. I believe maybe the attorney may be going too. They talked about Kabata and about the strength of the lobbying effort down there in Juneau to get that passed. Little discussion on the school fund balance. There's an interesting bill being actually Representative Gaddis, who was once on our school board, has co-sponsored a bill with Representative Fagy regarding school count, and in that bill lays a little legislation on reserves, and this has been a long-standing sort of thorn in the side of the school district. When they, at the end of the year, if they have any money left, they have to divvy it up with the borough, and they aren't allowed to keep a reserve balance, and they're just not happy with that situation. Doesn't allow them to smooth out over years when they don't get so much funding, and this legislation would say that cities and boroughs couldn't do that anymore, that school districts would be allowed to keep their reserve fund balance. It's something they are at odds with the borough on. Borough isn't real happy about that. They've been very respectful of each other's positions, but Mayor DeVilbiss has been pretty vocal that he doesn't think that's the way to go, and so they'll continue down sort of different lines on that if this bill proceeds. It's the first year of the bill. I heard a little bit of it discussed in House Education a couple of days ago. There's some problems with it, I think, in the rewriting, but we'll just have to see where that goes. So they talked about that a little bit and just a little bit about some of the educational bills that are, you know, facing them this year. Mayor did say at that point that he expects a lot of resolutions on the agenda for next time in support of various bills that they are in support of, that sort of what I've referred to these resolutions as sort of memos to themselves. But nonetheless, he feels a need to bring them forward, and he let everybody know there would be heads up on that deal. Then they proceeded on to public hearings. They did make one little change in that the multifamily development design standards, which was slated for the beginning of the public hearings, they punted to the bottom of the agenda. They saw quite a few people there for other issues, and they thought it might take some time, so they did that. They did a couple of just pretty benign things on. They had a huge amount, again, I don't know, 5 or 6 gas LIDs, which they passed through. I'm sort of waiting for them to have the discussion. It seems so odd that there's so many of these gas LIDs when we're all getting sort of bombarded with the information that we aren't going to have any gas to facilitate them. So seems a little contrary. I think it's worth some conversation.
Interesting, yes.
Yeah. So they kind of put those all together, which was all is kind of a good way to do it. They passed $7,000 for some more supplementary appropriations from some donations for the animal care again. And then they went on to what I consider pretty much the meat of the meeting, or at least one big bite of it. And that was a very controversial ordinance brought forth by Assemblyman Woods concerning a parcel of land that has been under consideration for a future Palmer Elementary site. This has gotten some notoriety in our local newspaper, in the Frontiersman, who has questioned whether Mr. Woods had a financial interest in this piece of property. It was revealed that Mr. Woods was one of 5 members of a trust that actually owned the note on the property. And there was a lot of pretty much public urging of Mr. Woods to not bring this forward and sort of skirt the process that it was in the queue as part of a total evaluation of where a future school site should go for Palmer. Palmer, of course, is not included in the present school bond that they're working on right now. It has been talked about, brought forward as a concern that the demographics are going to be such that it will probably be in the next bond cycle. And that's what the school site selection committee has been discussing. That's what Mayor Johnson was there to talk about in consideration of a different site. But this one was sort of an ordinance introduced by Mr. Woods to sort of pull it out of that process and give some instruction to the manager to start negotiating with that landowner.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a long history behind it. Mike, you're probably very familiar with this.
Absolutely, very, very much so, yeah.
This was a parcel that was one of the finalists in the last South Palmer school that in the end did not, was not chosen. The site over by the ranch subdivision was chosen by a piece of land that was donated by the developer. It's been a long, long process on that. A lot of people were not happy with that being a South Palmer site. In fact, one witness that testified or last Tuesday referred to it as in Wasilla, which is kind of a stretch, but it is about farther south than anybody thought it would be.
If it were going to be described as being related to Palmer, it's more in a special zone.
Yeah.
It's down there by the hospital, obviously, and it's where arguably the southern borders of the greater Wasilla and greater Palmer area meet.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a bad location for the future in terms of development in the area and use of the school. But you're right. It carried a very strange feeling of being placed there, with of course the biggest factor being the very difficult access and the whole road discussion that went on that resulted in some pretty heavy expenses still working out. In order to access that property.
Yeah, some $5.7 million, I think. Yes, it did have it. But it should be said that that has turned out to be an amazing school. It
yes.
is over. They've had to do some boundary exemptions last year because it was so popular.
Mm-hmm.
I think it filled up faster. It got off to kind of a slow start, but it has filled up faster than just about any school that we've built. So it's been wildly successful. Palmer in itself and it is growing, and they see the new need that will result in needing another school. But again, has not gone in front of the voters.
Yeah,
yet.
And what I understand is really the a major question because the process for selecting is the one that we want to sort of make sure we understand and actually use. And that's what came under scrutiny, and there have been some changes in that process because it seems to center around what's called that site selection committee, which presumably has both a process and representation wide enough to make some good recommendations that will then be finally decided by the assembly.
Yeah. Right, and it had a little bit of a, you know, sort of a feeling of deja vu because the school site selection of last time was, by some people, just didn't work very well because it was selected in something that they felt was not the right place for the school. And after that decision was made and there was a little bit of a backlash from that, they, in 2009, I think, they reformed that committee, and they have spent really, literally, I've gone to a lot of those meetings, almost all of them, I would think, they literally spent 2 years coming up with a more fair matrix, one that was more transparent. They've really, really worked hard. And in fact, it's had some really good successes. It's picked out the land for the new Iditarod school, which the voters have approved to happen and about at the end of this bond cycle. They approved land for the new Matsu Day School, which was land that the borough already owned, but that it had to be redesignated. They have picked the land for the new Kinnick High School Middle School, and they're about ready to finalize on the land for the elementary school. And it has had its struggles. It the committee is led at this time by the chaired by an assembly person, which, you know, some would say maybe that's not the best way to do it, since the assembly is the final decision maker. That was brought up during this hearing by one assembly member. And because they are appointments, the bulk of these people, people come and go. So it doesn't exactly flow like a regular committee because there's a lot of rotating doors, political doors that come in and out. But by and large, they've set up the framework for a pretty good process, which was, I think, which really upset a lot of people that this was being pulled out of that queue to be evaluated with everything else for more of what seemed like some lobbying on the part of an owner that felt that last time his parcel was overlooked and really, really wanted his parcel to be considered. It's on the outskirts of Palmer. It's in the Outer Springer Loop sure. farm area. And his close association with Mr. Woods was made it pretty unpalatable for a lot of people.
Okay. So there are a couple of things here. One, as I understand it, the situation still is that the site selection committee does not do minutes. Is that correct?
They do minutes.
They do not
record.
Okay. Minutes, but no recording. Okay.
Right. In fact, it was requested that the meeting, they spent a lot of time talking about minutes from the previous year, previous meetings. And I'd like to say at this time, I think that the staff at the borough has done an amazing job trying to keep up with everything that goes on. It's a very complex issue. There's lots of handouts. There's lots of discussion. You know, now there's mayors from both cities sitting on the assembly or on this committee. So they do an amazing job of trying to track down. But, you know, it's someone recalling what's happened. And there was some request from the public to have those meetings recorded, just simply to make sure that the record was correct. It was voted on by the committee, and it was decided not to record them. And I think I still believe that's sort of problematic and part of the problem here, because it's a lot of he said, she said that we're ending up with here. But
so it is a public meeting, though,
right?
And they're announced and scheduled.
They haven't had one since, I believe, September now.
Oh, well, it's been a while.
October. It hasn't. And part of that is due to the fact that they want to have something to meet about, and they've been doing these heavy negotiations on the Kinnick sites, which really are the priority
sure.
of this school bond. And, you know, they've had a couple of owners going back and forth, and so there's a new chair. You know, Mr. Culver took over at the last couple meetings, and it's a call of the chair, really, who brings the meetings together. So I believe the intent is to have the meeting the end of February when they'll have something to report for the committee.
So was this, in this particular case, this particular issue, which was withdrawn ultimately from
right,
the
there
agenda.
There was testimony received on it. Again, it was more testimony regarding what the ethics code would dictate in this cause, in this manner. There were four or five testifiers on it. One testifier about the process and how we should stick to what the site selection committee is trying to do, and past assembly person that was very involved in the mock-a-tons, pointing out some need to stay on the program and not go do another in-game that would, you know, put a kind of a black eye on not only the borough but the school district with, you know, the public. And After the testimony was over, Mr. Woods asked the mayor if he should recuse himself, and the mayor ruled that he should. And at that point, the mayor pulled the legislation off the table.
He pulled it off. Is it any indication of where it's going?
I think it's going away. The result will be it will go through the committee now.
Okay.
With the other parcel to be judged. Now, what they do from there, whether the committee decides to rescope what they're looking at, this kind of ties in, dovetails a little bit into the school board meeting last night when they elected from their own board to have two new members of the school site selection committee forward. They would be David Cheesham, the new board member, and Debbie Rutherford as the alternate. So those names will be moved forward for the mayor. The mayor has been delaying an appointment to the school board member on that committee because of the changes in the board. Ms. Gaddis was on that board previously, and her vacancy opened up a slot. So my guess would be those names would be forward to the mayor, and one would hope that he would appoint who the school board would like to have on there. So whether they convince or talk to the other members about looking at it from fresh eyes, the whole area, or they just consider these two properties they have been considering, is yet to find out. Of course, it's a while away. While we want to plan and we know that there's a need for it, maybe the urgency isn't quite there yet as they concentrate on finishing up this other parcel.
So we want to look forward to the February time frame and this next site selection committee meeting and how it moves along.
Right. And, I just want to say, as far as this issue goes, personally, I find Mr. Woods, a really good person. He's contributed a lot to the Valley. He's, by all other things that he's done, a very ethical and good human, I think does his best of his abilities on the assembly. I hope that it didn't get personal. I think he did say at the end that he wasn't a political person, that he had learned a lesson, that he, a valuable lesson there, but I think there are still some wounds there. I think there are a couple of assembly members that took it kind of personally that it an ethics suggestion was brought up. So we hope that heals up and people move on and we've learned from that. So then they moved on to even another very hot issue, and that was the Jim Creek.
Oh, yes.
Jim Creek plan. This is something that's been in the mix for quite a while, a master plan for this area. It came up last year as the Jim Creek plan, and Mr. Arvin was successful in changing the name of the plan to the Jim Creek Motorized Plan. I think we spoke about that at length a few months ago. They put it out to a private subcontracted it out. They had kind of a intense public process up there. Of course, that area is because of other issues, it's a very divided very strong opinions, one shall say, in that area. But the plan, as it was presented, Mr. Keough made an attempt for a couple of amendments. He was successful with one, and that was that they aren't allowed to shoot firearms off in this area, which was the only one that went through. There was a lot of testimony. Most of it was for the plan from the motorized group, who showed up pretty significantly. There apparently was a lot of input by other means to the assembly, with emails and such from the other side that wasn't happy with the amount of land that they were being designated from this parcel for non-motorized use, that it was designated near the racetrack, which they didn't feel was a compatible use. But at the end of the day, the plan was with mixed emotion, I think, was passed. So that's been a very contentious issue. And I think we're going to hear about that a little bit as they try to struggle with some enforcement issues that they may have. There's some concerns from, you know, was voiced about liabilities and that sort of thing. And, of course, you know, the state owns really, as someone pointed out, you know, 5 minutes away, a huge, vast amount of recreational land. So how people interpret what's borough land and what they're allowed to do there and what the vision is there and this wide open space that the state owns will be interesting. But for now, the motorized community has gained quite a big access area in that area.
Okay. Well, at this time, let's just say that this is KVRF Sutton 89.5 on your FM dial, Big Cabbage Radio, and we're in the midst of a discussion here with the citizen lobbyist dealing with all the topics that were covered at this week's assembly meeting. So what next?
They did take up the borough forest management. This is another kind of a contentious issue, kind of hard to follow. But the several years ago, the borough passed a borough forest management, what to do with their forestry within the borough. We all see a lot of trees. It's kind of interesting to know there's really not that many good trees, but it is a resource, and the Real Property Asset Management Board that was alive at that time spent a couple of years putting together, evaluating the different parts of what we did have for good forestry there, coming up with a cut plan so that it could continue to be a renewable resource. Mr. Arvin has voiced at several times that he wasn't happy with that plan, that he didn't think it allowed for enough cut. He has a background in that business, the logging business, so he's been at odds with the plan. But this particular one was an ordinance that took one particular parcel up by Talkeetna and Trapper Creek area that has been identified as probably the best forestry land that we have, and was an ordinance telling them to open it up beyond the plan for cutting. And it is mainly what it seems to satisfy a lawsuit that has been bubbling up for many years from someone that had a permit from the borough to do extensive logging up there, and the borough felt that they didn't do their job. They made more of a mess than they did forestry. There was a big lawsuit that ensued. They came to a settlement, and the settlement of that was of course, done in executive session, so not really anything the public was part of. Poor attorney was kind of put on the spot during the assembly meeting because someone asked if they could talk about it, and our attorney said, that's up to you, and the mayor said, talk on. And so he did come up with a little bit of how the negotiations went, that it was at the assembly's discretion which part of the forest that the borough owns that they opened up for this purpose. But at the end of the day, they did adopt it. There was a little bit of testimony on it, kind of surprising. There were some small loggers, people that do milling and that sort of stuff, that said, look, you know, if you don't give it to him, opening up area that the small loggers would still have the other area, I guess, is what they thought. So we'll see. I think you may hear a little bit about this, too. There's been some past history of some unhappy people that didn't feel that the logging was compatible to their lifestyle, and so we may hear a little bit about that as we go down, too.
Okay.
They finally got down. Oh, they had a very interesting discussion on the ferry.
Oh, yes, the ferry. I saw a piece in the paper suggesting that the state is looking into the possibilities.
Yes.
This is exciting.
Their manager did report that the state has is taking into consideration our ferry. They had previously said they weren't interested. They're now revisiting that, so to speak. They're going to write a white paper on it. I did have some sidebar conversation with some people, somebody on that, and because I thought that was pretty hopeful, and they said, well, don't get too excited about it. One problem with this ferry is that it takes so many people to operate it, and the cost of fuel is pretty expensive. So while I think people are hopeful, that may not be the answer. But they do have someone that is very interested. They feel that they're going to have an answer here shortly. And it's been sent out to like 1,000 people, I think, to show that it's really for sale. It's getting a lot of publicity. I saw an article in the San Francisco news paper this week, and I think the LA newspaper was up. It's quite a big topic now that we're giving a ferry away, so to speak. But the conversation on the agenda was about paying the bill again. And the manager was asking that he... they appropriate money for him to pay the March bill. And, of course, Mr. Arvin is stood firm that he's not spending another dime on the ferry. He was the first one to vote no. Of the seven, six of them voted no. Mr. Arvin reconsidered right away, and then they all voted for it.
Seven?
Yes.
So it was a posture, as we say.
It was interesting.
Saying, I don't want to do this, but I'll do this.
And it sort of makes me wonder who was talking to who, and how does that work with open... It certainly sounded orchestrated. It was very interesting. You know, these sort of things are a lot of drama and a lot of theater.
Did anyone in any way discuss or indicate what the message was supposed to be in that kind of revised vote?
The message doesn't ever change. The message is they're tired of putting money into this and they want it to go away. The mayor, I think, was a little frustrated with it, too, and he lent support to the manager. Said he thought that he felt that the manager was doing everything he could to get this done. And because I think that at least Mr. Arvin has taken issue with the manager not doing enough. And I think the mayor was clearly on the side of the manager saying, look, you know, we have to pay the bill. And manager is out there beating the bushes trying to resolve this problem. But I think everybody in the audience was a little aghast that they would say this, that it was, and then right away reconsidered and another vote on it to pass it unanimously. It was quite interesting.
Okay.
They passed a resolution for a new Gateway Visitor Center. This is, you know, of course, we've got a big visitor center going up in South Denali, and the visitor center here has kind of gotten smooshed up in all the hospital land. MEA has donated some land, or not donated, but agreed to sell some land at a very reduced rate. And so this was sort of the beginning of that. I think it's where the RV center, or at the end of town, or as you get on the highway there where that big RV area is. I think that's where they're talking about it.
Okay, so
this was sort of
visible,
the kickoff.
Actually.
Very visible, right. And that's the problem now, is that they don't feel like it's very visible to tourists.
Yeah. So I know where it is, and I know how to get there. But if I were telling somebody how you do this, it's like, go to the hospital and turn right.
Right, exactly. And it's a little bit confusing. So, you know, they want something in the south part of the borough. So this is sort of the beginning of that, saying, okay, we're going to get it in queue here. So that passed. Then they had a little bit of a drama, so to speak, on the vacancy report, which normally doesn't get a lot of drama. Part of the vacancy report was the board that the mayor was moving forward for this new tall tower team that he's sort of hand-selected to go through. Mr. Keough felt that he objected. He divided it out and wanted to talk about that particular one as opposed to the whole vacancy report, which filled some other positions on boards and commissions. They voted not to divide the question, so they didn't want him to, so he objected to the entire thing. Then they had to discuss it, so to speak. So he and Mr. Solomon had an interesting conversation on a couple of the members. that were on there. And really, Mr. Keogh just said, look, I think it's unbalanced, and the whole point of boards and commissions is to get some balance into some feedback, and I think that we've overlooked, you know, a past person who was head of our planning for the borough that has very good knowledge of this, and an ex-attorney that worked for the borough for a couple of people that I feel have already weighed in on this. And in the end of the day, they didn't think that was good advice from one assemblyman, and they overrode him, and they passed.
What's the vote on that?
6-1.
6-1. Mm-hmm. Didn't Mr. Culver speak in favor of adding another person there? Did I catch a part of that? The former planning director, for example?
Well, those were the two that they talked about having, but at the end of the day,
it was still only 6-1. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I think so. Then there was a lot of little things. Oh, they did have, I think that they, I'm kind of getting confused here at the end. It was a very, very full meeting. We need to get onto the school district.
Right.
The mayor talked a little, they did have reconsidering the power ordinance. Mr. Keogh had brought that back for reconsideration of an ordinance that they passed, last time to take up another committee to give them advice on changing the existing power restriction on power or the ordinance that dictates where power generation can go in the borough, and he was outvoted on that one too, 6-1.
Okay.
And very last, they just had a little bit of talk about the mayor's going to Juneau next week and the importance of all speaking with the same voice. They talked a little bit about the sadness of losing a couple of really big members of the borough. Of course, past assembly person Mary Colheim, a huge, huge contribution to government and community is in all sectors, really, across the state and here in the Valley. The Frontiersman did a pretty nice piece on that. And
right.
Former Chancellor Glenn Massey, who passed away, and Dan Ducey, who the mayor spoke pretty passionately about, who he's proclaimed February as the a Dan Ducey Volunteer Month, who contributed a lot to the Valley. One of the most outstanding volunteers there was. So kind of ended on a sad note there, but good that they're recognizing him. So that was enough fun for the assembly
Tuesday
meeting.
So now, with our remaining time, we turn to
the school board meeting. Well, they started the meeting a little early. They had an executive session to go over some business, and I missed the swearing in of our new school board member, which was included in that executive session. But the oath of office was given to newly appointed school board member David Cheesham.
Yep.
So they had a full board sitting up there last night with Mr. Cordero calling in from Juneau on the big screen. He had some technical problems. It's something they're trying to figure out here, hearing, and he's actually being seen as well. So they had a little bit of a struggle with that, as they do when Mr. Arvin calls in all the time. They didn't have any persons to be heard at all last night. It was kind of a thin crowd, so to speak. Maybe they were all worn out from the assembly meeting the night before. I know
Could
I
they?
Was. They had... they had the borough, and they didn't have anybody from the borough, but they had both cities show up again, kind of give the same report, so to speak, that they gave the night before. The superintendent had introduced financial business manager Luke Phelps to give a budget update.
Okay.
And that was very informative. Of course, Mr. Ken Forrest started setting the bar really high with their financial reporting last year when they incorporated new software. And this was the first year that Luke Phelps, who has taken Ken Forrest's position, was able to give his report. And it was pretty darn impressive. He talked about giving the report less about sort of geekish so that numbers people can only understand it more so that the common person can understand where the budget goes and where the money comes from and how it's all, it's a very, very complicated, you can speak to it really knowledgeably, Mike, computation on how the schools get their money. Mm-hmm. And he made it really kind of enjoyable to really read. And it will be online probably later today. They take it on the road, so to speak, next week. 4 days they're going to be, I think, at Kinnick Elementary, Suhai, the admin building, and Birch Tree Charter giving the same presentation. I urge people to get out and see it. It's you know, it's very important that people understand why the district is struggling. The other side of the story, because we hear from a lot of people that it's never enough money. I know the governor has said that many times, mm-hmm. that he doesn't want to change the BSA because he thinks that it'll never be enough. And they really have put together good reasoning why it's not enough, and what the costs are and how the money's all turned around. So it's a quite long, it was a long presentation, but I think it was really fruitful. And
good.
He's doing a good job.
I'm glad that it's available. We of course streamed the meeting, and we'll put up on our website the recording. But then to have selected sections such as this budget stuff available on the website and so on, give everyone a chance to get as much detail as they need or want.
Yeah. Right.
Well, wonderful.
Right. And they did, they took questions if they had any. There really wasn't on the bond update. Again, they're trying to get out there and let people know what's going on and giving the school board, the ability to ask questions about them. They do get a lot of information in what they call their Board Connect, which is basically the manager's report. There's a very, very, good report on the borough website that the manager puts out about all the public works projects that are going on. And, if listeners go to the borough website and click on the manager's page there, you can get the manager's update, and it tells you every roof, every piece of carpet, everything that's in, and there's some pictures, and I think it's really good. It lets you know where the fire alarms are, where all kinds of things that people have bonded for and want to know what progress that they're making. So
that's a wonderful example of the use of technology. You know, I was struck as you were talking about this budget presentation at the school board meeting, and I'm thinking back to what you've described happening at the borough assembly meeting. Don't they have a budget process?
Yeah, they will have a budget process. That happens, starts at about April.
Okay, but they start in April because they have to be finished up as well at the same time.
June 1st.
Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm just reflecting, and I'm saying, okay, we have the school board and the school district stepping out and showing where this process is, because it's an ongoing process at the present time. But I'm just struck by the contrast that the borough at this point in time it doesn't seem to have the same
proactive.
Well, you use that term. That's good.
Well, yeah, it is complicated. In fact, it is sort of amazing because the budget that the school board is only a proposed what-if budget. Mm-hmm. They just don't have all the answers. They wait to see what the local contribution is, of course, from the borough. They wait to see what the state contribution is. The borough has that sort of, too. They're kind of waiting for the state to let them know.
Sure, but one would think that there's, I'm guessing that somewhere in the borough, there are people that are prepping and getting ready for the budget.
Sure.
It just doesn't, it's April, let's start. And so I'm just wondering whether that might be something that would be helpful for those people who are looking at the borough's activities.
Right.
I see that kind of example.
Right. I think if they took the example and did it the same way the school district did, it would be very helpful to borough residents. What they normally do is they have the departments come in one by one by one and give their little spiel to the assembly only. So if you want to follow the budget process, which I do, you spend many, many nights listening to the different departments giving their thing. The way the district approaches it is administration pulls all that information together and presents it as one budget to the borough, a little bit, or the school district board. So it's a little bit different in the way that they do it.
Well, the school district used to do it the way that the assembly is doing it.
Yeah, would have that history.
Yeah, and that
it's unwieldy a little bit.
Well, there was an unwieldy quality of it, as you're pointing out, a lot of meetings where it's being presented. In the school district's case, it was being presented to the school board. But my sense about it, that when everything is said and done and you've made your budget presentation and so on, the question is, can you, as we've seen with the school district, explain this in terms that people will understand?
Right, and it's a different way that they evaluate it, because the school district, the school board sort of evaluates it as one budget. We either accept it or we reject it. They ask questions about it. Mm-hmm. But the way the borough approaches it, it's almost like the different departments are pitching each of their departments to the assembly, and then the assembly takes the knife to it, department by department, when they deliberate it. Yeah, it is sort of a messy process. There was a motion made, I believe, by Mr. Culver at the assembly meeting asking for another third party. This is something they've done for the last 2 years, is they've brought in sort of a third-party auditor to give them suggestions up and above what finance does. Now, the first year, it seemed to go pretty well. Last year, they didn't like the suggestions that they picked. So apparently, I don't know if they're going back to the number one guy or how that's all going to work out. It also should be said, again, to Mr. Forrest's credit, first thing he did was upgrade the financial software of the school district. With his vast experience, he just knew the school district is the biggest employer of the entire borough, and that they couldn't be doing it on Excel sheets the way they had been doing it. And that said, the borough hasn't made that leap. They're still doing it with the same process they've had for a long time. So they probably don't have the tools of the sophistication that the school district has. And I think there was some conversation of trying to join those modulars together, but there's been a resistance on doing that. Trying to go under the same.
Okay, this has been an ongoing discussion that, aside from the fact of where the money is proposed to be spent, the question of the process itself and whether this is actually, I just sum it up by saying, I think the school district, and particularly because of Mr. Forrest's activities, has demonstrated that you can do a better job in presenting the budget.
Right. And, the fact that they're putting their budget on the website itself, and these charts that are showing this is the history of it, some historical data on there, so that people can understand it. They're growing a body of supporters instead of skeptics, which I think is really,
informed,
really valuable.
And certainly informed critics, if you go that far.
Yep.
And there is nothing, to sum up, there's nothing similar on the borough's website for the borough. Not yet.
Yep.
Okay.
We can always be hopeful, I guess.
Okay.
They did also, during the superintendent's time, give an award to Ken Forrest. Again, we've talked about today. He originally was going to stay around till June and do some contract stuff, but apparently he is now leaving the end of February, February 28th being his last day. They talked about all the things that he did, the technology he brought in, all the buildings, how he really whipped in shape a lot of the buildings and deferred maintenance, the work that he did on their legislative processes, and just a whole litany of great accomplishments that Mr. Forrest has been able to do in the brief 2.5-3 years he's been here. They said, what do you get a guy like Ken who's really doesn't collect a lot of stuff? But they got him a really nice gold pan, which is something everybody from Alaska should have, with his name engraved on it. And thanked him for his service, and he really has set a high bar and implemented a lot of structure that hopefully will serve them well for quite some time. And so that was the superintendent's thing. They had some very small things on their consent agenda. They're working a little bit on their own policies a little bit. And there was some work reportedly on that that they accepted. They accepted a new course at Matsu Central School that has become quite popular these days. Someone said during the meeting it's now actually the biggest school that we have in the district. Of course, it's a correspondence school, so
right.
It's not kids in classrooms as much, but they do have a quite nice facility now above the LIO office in Wasilla, if you have a chance to get over there.
I've been over there. It is, I would agree. It's a
very
great,
nice
great place.
They rent it. It's not something
yep.
that they own. They talked a little bit. We talked briefly about school board committees, which really I think they made some really good suggestions on that. The two big ones, of course, are the site selection committee that we talked about, and that being Mr. Cheesham, the newly appointed school board member, and Ms. Rutherford, who been in the Valley for all her life, I think, so has a accounting banking background, so that she should bring a lot of good talent to that committee. And Ms. Welton will be the alternate to those two. Then they talked about this joint borough assembly committee meeting that I spoke about earlier. Ms. Welton has served on that for several years. She enjoys it. Now Ms. Rutherford will join her on that committee.
Very good.
And Mr. Larson will serve as an alternate. And Mr. Larson joined the policy committee as an alternate. They talked a little bit last time around. They had an idea that the charter schools could have liaisons from the school board. They never really appointed anybody. It was sort of an idea that didn't really take off. They had some questions on that. I think they were waiting for the charter schools to say, I want a liaison.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they Midnight Sun and Twinley Bridge, Mr. Neil Lacey will be the liaison, school board member Lacey will be the liaison for them, and Ms. Rutherford offered to be the liaison for Birchtree.
Okay.
And as the other ones come forward, if they want a liaison, I suppose they will take that up then.
Mm-hmm.
So they voted on those committee memberships and went by really well. They were given their legislative blue books by the superintendent. This is something, again, Mr. Forrest brought on board, Dr. Burnley, when he was here, that is very well done on all their legislative wish lists, so to speak. So when the legislature gets down to the nitty-gritty of giving money out to schools, where their priority is, they do not, they aren't very hopeful about a base student allocation increase this year, although they're asking it, just as our other districts wanting that increase. The governor has said he's not in favor of that. He's given them some one-time energy money, which he did last year, but they are going to advocate for it, but they aren't hopeful about it. And they went over some of their things that they wanted in there, some capital requests to continue the Alaska Middle College. They had some conversation on that about where that might be going, how it might come back to Matsu, how maybe ASD can join in that endeavor. They're really doing some pretty good thinking.
Yeah, I've heard some good things about that Middle College. That seems to be working very well.
They do.
And some questions about why it's in Eagle River.
Right. It sounds like they're having some very fruitful conversations with Matsu College and working that way. And maybe ASD can do some backfilling of the facility that they've opened there. So
okay.
They're very appreciative of the university giving them that space at Eagle River. And it seems to be very successful, and they've got a model for slow but good growth. And it sounds like now ASD is even interested in it. So I think this could turn into a very good thing. And so that's just their list of priorities. Hopefully that they'll get that on online too, so that people can see what they're advocating for as they go down there with everybody else trying to get some money for their budget. So that, by and large, was the school board meeting. It's kind of interesting. I guess I was thinking about it this morning about we're hearing from people how the mood in Juneau is different this year, that it's it seems to be more cordial, or that you know, maybe everybody agrees more with each other. Hard to say, it's early in the session. The mood at the school board is different this year. There seems to be more of a team effort, so to speak, that everybody seems to be, not at odds with each other in their ideology so much, that they all really seem to have sort of their heads down to do what's right for kids, and that they have a lot of faith in Dr. Parmo and her team, and they seem not afraid to ask questions at all, but that there just seems to be Susan Palger, it's her first time as being the school board president. She seems to be leading them in a really good manner, so to speak, very respectful of each other, which is always good to see on these things.
Okay, well, we're down to the last few seconds, so I want to thank you. This was a wonderful discussion and description of a very complicated set of meetings, I think.
And my favorite week.
Okay, see you next week.
All right.